Hiya, is that Jim?
It is, yeah.
Good morning, it's Francesca from INSL calling about the inquiry that you submitted to the Scottish Redress Scheme. Is now a good time to talk?
Yeah, can you just give me a second? I'm just going to move out of the room from the dog because he's going to bark because I'm on the phone.
No worries.
Toby, no, you're not coming. Hello.
Hey, perfect. Yeah, so just double checking. So is now a good time to go through the initial call?
Yes, sure. Yeah.
Perfect. So before we begin, just need to confirm some details for data protection purposes. So would I be able to get your full name, please, including any middle names?
It's James Brisbane.
And your date of birth?
18th of March 1968.
And your current address?
It's 91 Cedars Road, Clapham, London, Sierra Whiskey 40 Papa Whiskey.
And have you been known by any prior names, so before or during care at all?
No, not during care, no.
No? Were you a different name beforehand?
I was adopted when I was 6 weeks old, but, I mean, that's the only time I've ever heard a different name.
So with the adoption, so was it an official adoption at 6 weeks?
And yeah, it was the Church of Scotland adoption.
Yeah, and was it with the adoption parents that you suffered any abuse?
Yeah, it was them that put me into care.
The adoption parents put you into care?
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. So just let you know as well, so all calls are recorded for training and quality purposes, okay?
Yeah.
And just to double check as well, so regarding contacting you, so it's usually email, phone, call and text. Are those all okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
and are you happy for us to contact you via WhatsApp?
Yes.
Yeah, perfect. And the email I have on file for you is brisbanejames1@gmail.com. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Perfect. So I appreciate discussing experiences connected to this application can be difficult and upsetting. So please take your time during the call, and if you need a break at any point or any further explanation or support, just let me know, okay?
Yeah.
And do you suffer from any communication difficulties at all, any vulnerabilities that you wish to make me aware of?
No.
So the purpose of the call today, so I'll explain the Scottish Redress Scheme to you, I'll explain your options, explain how INS law operates, discuss the funding and fees, and then gather some information then to assess whether and how we can assist you. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. So it's important that you understand your options before deciding whether to instruct us. So you're entitled to, so you can apply directly to the Redress Scheme by yourself without a solicitor. So they'll send out like an application pack to you. Or you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme. So these solicitors, they're paid directly by the government for assisting you with your application. So those solicitors can receive up to £2,000 plus the VAT from the government for assisting you, regardless of whether you're successful or not with the application. So INS law, so we don't operate under that statutory scheme, so we don't claim any government-funded fees. So if you decide to instruct us, you'd be choosing private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement. So we're not paid by the government for assisting you. And at this stage, would I just be able to confirm whether you've instructed any of the solicitors or had any communication in relation to an application to the redress scheme at all?
I did try, I think it was last year, but I didn't have, they wanted some paperwork that I just didn't have at the time regarding my address. They wanted a letter, I think it was within the last 3 months to confirm that I lived here, and I just didn't have all that at the time, so...
I just didn't take
it any further.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, so we will need that this time round. So you're able to provide that now?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, okay, perfect. So just to confirm, so you understand all of your options and everything like that, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, perfect. So with our agreement, so we operate on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if your application is unsuccessful, you pay nothing. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you pay nothing. So then if you are successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees consist of basic charges based on the time spent and a success fee. However, the total fees, they're capped. So no more than 16% plus the VAT of your redress payments. You'll never pay more than that agreed cap.
Okay.
So it's important as well, I make clear, so we can't guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of reward the scheme may award you. So the scheme operates on a discretionary basis. I can explain that in greater detail during the call as well. So do you have any questions at all for me so far?
No, not at the minute, no.
No problem. So if you decide to instruct us, what we assist with, so we go through your eligibility to apply to the redress scheme. Then we go to the first application section now, which is what this call is today. And then following that, then if you're happy to proceed, we gather and review all the evidence, and then we prepare and submit the final application following a witness statement with yourself. We do all the corresponding with the redress scheme, and then we can advise you on any offers made and then assist with any reconsideration or review processes within the scheme as well if you're unhappy with the outcome. Okay. So if a redress offer is made as well, we'll fully explain there's a statutory waiver before you decide whether to accept anything. So it's important so it can affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to matters. So you're not expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences.
Okay.
So you also have a right to cancel. So if you decide to proceed with us, you have a 14-day cancellation period after you sign the agreement, and then you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. And if you choose as well, you can also authorise us to begin work immediately while those cancellation rights still remain. So would you be happy for us to do that?
Yes, I'm happy to do that.
Fantastic. And just regarding then the proof of address letter as well. So do you have any photographic ID at all?
I have a provisional driving licence.
Yeah, that's perfect. So it's just so that we can formally act for you. So it's to comply with anti-money laundering regulations. So we'll need photographic ID and then the letter then dated in 3 months. Mm-hmm. So I'll send over an email to you. I'll do that now, actually, just then. I know I've sent it. There you go. So it can just be, honestly, any letter, as long as it's got the date and your name and address on it. It doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
So just a few more questions, and then we'll move on to the case settings. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yep, fab. So have you received any relevant payments before? So any criminal injuries compensation authority related to abuse, court-ordered damages, settlement, or any advance payment scheme payments?
No.
No? And do you have any criminal convictions or sentence of imprisonment for 5 years or more?
No. Not for 5 years.
No, but do you have any convictions?
I do, but the last conviction would have been 1998.
Yeah, and what was it regarding?
It was a drugs matter.
Okay.
Peewits.
So it asks for any convictions for rape or murder or imprisonment of 5 years or more?
No.
Oh, but no, perfect. And have you been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses?
No.
And you're also able to nominate a beneficiary to your application. So if anything was to happen to you, we'd get in touch with them. So you can do this at a later date, or you can do it now. Would you like to add one?
I'll add my wife. Same address. Her name's Sarah Kate Brisbane.
Yeah, and her date of birth?
Is 12966. My dog broke in the room.
And do you have an email address or a contact number for her?
I actually don't know. I think it's sarahbrisbane1@hotmail.co.uk.
Yeah, I'll pop that in now, but if it's different, if you could just send it over, that'll be all right.
Yeah.
sarahbrisbane1@hotmail.co.uk. Yeah. Fab. And so do you know the name that you were given before being adopted?
David Stokes Mason.
And do you know the name of your birth parents? So in regards to getting your documents and records and things like that, so when you're under 18, it'd usually be your parents' names that would be on the documents, but if you're adopted, if it was them, it would have been those names.
I don't know.
But what
One time I did check, they told me that I have to go to the court and apply because they're locked under Scottish law.
Okay. Would I be able to grab the name of your adoptive parents, if that's okay?
Jean Parker Brisbane and James Brisbane.
And do you recall their address? So before you were in K, the address that you would have been at?
It would have been 3 Scott Road, Irvine, Irvine. My adopted mother's passed away.
And would I be able to take the name of the GP surgery that you're currently registered with, if possible?
It's Queenstown Road Surgery.
And is that in Clapham?
Is, yes.
Yeah. So moving on to the care settings now. So in regards to your adoption, so it's also you can also put in a statement regarding social services, so if they let you down in any way. So is there like a crossover between being with your adoption parents and care where there was anything that happened, or was it just they just put you in and then you were in the system again?
Well, my mum and dad divorced 78. I went to live with my dad in, I think it was 1980. And his girlfriend at the time, my ex-stepmother, was quite abusive to me. I used to get beaten quite a lot. So I started running away. And at one point, I did go to social services and tell this was going on, but nothing happened. They just sent me back home. And then, because I was getting beaten, I kept thinking. I remember at the time, I thought I was going to be one of them kids you read about in the paper, but beaten to death by their stepmom. So I kept running away, and she told my dad worked on the oil fields at the time, so barely see him. And she convinced my dad that I was unruly and out of control, and to put me into care.
Obviously, she was the reason that this was all happening.
Well, we moved from my mum because she was an alcoholic.
So, was she an alcoholic before you were adopted?
Yeah,
Yeah.
she was.
So there's also then the situation where the checks obviously weren't completed.
There is, they were very connected to the church, my family, when I was younger. I grew up in one of them very staunch Protestant families. So it was done through the church. I don't really know much about it. Nobody really talked about it.
No. So, did you first enter care then in 1980, was it? Or
No,
was
this
it a
is
bit later on?
1982 or 1983. I can't actually remember how old I was in 1982. I think I was 14, nearly 15.
And then where were you first placed then?
I was first placed in foster parents in Adrossan, who, given my background as quite a staunch Protestant family growing up, I was placed into quite a staunch Catholic family.
Yeah.
Which was obviously quite a culture shock for me at that age. Didn't really get on there, and then I was placed into an assessment centre in Darvel.
Is it Darvel?
D-A-R-V-E-L. Delta Alpha Romeo Victor Echo Lima.
And do you recall what it was called?
No, I think it was called Darvel Assessment Centre.
Yeah.
I can't actually remember the name of it.
Does Kirkland Park House ring a bell?
Yeah, no, it doesn't actually.
But yeah.
I just can't remember if it had a name. I always called it an assessment centre, and I don't actually ever remember getting told the name for it.
Yeah. Okay. And how old were you when you were placed there?
I think I was just about 15.
So you were in the foster care for about a year?
Yeah, it was about 6 months, I think.
Okay. You said the foster care. Was it in
Adrossan?
Yeah.
Adrossan.
Adrossan.
Yeah. Actually, it was in Salkitts.
What was that, sorry?
It was in Salkitts, not Adrossan.
Could you just spell that for me, sorry?
S Sierra Alpha Lima Tango Charlie Oscar Alpha Tango Sierra.
Perfect. Okay. So regarding your time then in these places, so would you be able to tell me again, sorry, about the foster care?
Yeah, I grew up quite a what they call an orange family, quite a sectarian Protestant family, and then was pushed. I wasn't pushed, but when I was put into foster care, they were quite an extreme Catholic family.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of stuff went on there. They wouldn't allow me to go and see my granddad. They were taking me into places that I didn't want to go, like their church and stuff. A lot of my family stopped talking to me because of that, because I'd been in a chapel.
Yeah.
And stuff. I mean, when I look back on it now, it just seems nonsensical that, you know, people stop talking to you because you've been in a building.
Yeah.
No, but, yeah.
So was there any form of physical or verbal abuse of your fosters?
A lot of verbal abuse, a lot of demeaning of me and my friends, because where I lived in Stevenson was quite next to Salkett, so I had quite a lot of friends in Salkett, and
Yeah.
they didn't let me hang around my friends. I used to get locked in the house on my own if they went out somewhere, and told how worthless I was. That's why I'm in care, because nobody wants me, and I'm such a bad child and stuff. I was actually grateful to get away from there.
Yeah.
Shut up.
So you mentioned with the verbals, they said that you were worthless and they were. So what else, what kind of things did they say to you?
Just like I was a bad child, that's why I was in care, and that's why my mum and dad didn't want me, because I was evil.
And then regarding that then, she said you were there for about 6 months. So what was the
Yeah.
reason for being moved over then?
I kept clashing with her son. We shared a room, and he kept, just putting me in a corner and telling me I should sit in that chair and not move. And was just culture clash, really, between me and their son. Their son went to like a private school and stuff, and
Yeah.
he was just quite, he was
They were
a
like,
bit
we're
like the parents.
better. Yeah.
Yeah, we're better than you, and you don't deserve anything.
So did was it a case of social services came out and you said they weren't getting on?
Yeah, I asked social services to move me. I think I actually ran away from them. I
So you have
refused
to
to
be
go back.
moved and then you ran away, or did you run away
Yeah.
beforehand?
No, I ran away. I asked to be moved, and then I ran away. And then I refused to go back.
So then you were placed in the assessment centre.
Yeah.
And so what was it like in that one?
They used to lock you in a cupboard. I remember getting locked in cupboards quite a lot. They'd lock you in quite a small cupboard, and then if you got unruly, they'd lock you in a room and let the other kids beat you. And that was encouraged.
So was that just like kind of day to day, just normal, like what you
That was,
expected, and yeah.
yeah, that was just normal behavior in there.
And that's just day to day life. Any other, do they have any punishments for you? Is it verbal? Were the staff ever aggressive or
Yeah,
physical?
it was quite verbal. I mean, they'd be quite rough in throwing you in a cupboard. And it was quite a small little cupboard, and they just locked the door on you for hours. You might miss out on a couple of meals.
Yeah.
I remember being in the cupboard overnight a few times.
And with the verbal, what kind of what they say?
Just that you were worthless. The only reason they sent you here is because you're bad and you're never going to amount to much. And you're going to end up in prison is what I remember getting told quite a lot and stuff, which is the best place for you and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was just quite demeaning stuff like that. And then if you spoke up, they'd lock you in what they called the playroom and then send the other kids in to beat you up.
Yeah. Okay, are there any other incidents that you recall, specific, or is it like the general time there was all just very similar to this?
Yeah. It's all similar to that. I remember a couple of kids getting hit by stuff, but I never get hit by stuff. I got locked in cupboards.
How would you say that you felt whilst you were there?
I didn't like it at all. I remember that.
Yeah.
Quite scared, I think, when I was there.
So, in regards to these statements now, so these are the initial statements that we send off to redress for the first application. And then further down the line, then we'll be in touch to do a witness statement with yourself. So, it'll just be a bit more detail, a bit more like aimed questions, some more like specific. But so, was there any other care setting, or was that the last one you were in?
I was in a boys' home in a place called Greghorn. It's Delta Romeo Echo Golf Hotel Oscar Romeo November.
Okay, a boys' school, like a...
It was a boys' care home.
And how old were you when you were there?
15.
Okay, 2 seconds, just finding the name of what this one now. You remember the name of it at all, or was it?
Just remember it being called Gregon Boys Home.
And so were you in that one? So they found a space for you in that one, so you were removed from the assessment centre.
I was put in the assessment centre to see whether I needed to go to Borstal or a care home. That's what I remember getting told.
So they obviously decided then you should be sent to the
A
children's
care
home
home.
instead, yeah.
Yeah.
And what was it like in that one?
I don't think it was as bad as the assessment center. I remember a lot of fights with the other kids.
A lot of what, sorry?
A lot of fighting.
Yeah. And was it like encouraged by the staff, like the other one, or did they do anything about it?
They would stand and watch.
And were they physical or verbal or aggressive in any way?
No, I don't think there was.
No.
I don't really remember that much staff being there, actually. I was just thinking about that. I don't actually remember many
Yeah.
staff from there at all.
They're just kind of like there, like from a distance, just observing, but not doing anything.
Yeah, not doing anything to.
And did you leave that one, or was it because you were when you reached 18, or were you?
No, I actually ran away to London, and with the help
Yeah.
of Centrepoint, the homeless charity, they came up with me at the age of 16 to rescind my care order.
Then I'm assuming, obviously, then you settled in London, yeah.
Yeah, I was living in their. They had a social work hostel, and I was living there at the time, which actually helped me quite a bit, I must admit.
Yeah. Okay, so I've written up these statements now for each of the care settings. Is there anything that you'd like to add at all to any of them? So you'll get a chance
No.
to do this in the witness statement as well, but for the initial one, is there anything at all? No?
No, I think I've
Yeah.
told you everything I can
Yeah.
remember.
No problem. So regarding the application now. So there's two types of applications that can be pursued under the redress scheme. So there's the fixed payment of £10,000, and it's a fixed amount regardless of the severity of the abuse you suffered. Or there's the individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, which is decided by a closed panel dependent on the level you suffered. So based on the previous awards made by the scheme and everything that you shared with me today, I'd like to pursue the individually assessed one for you. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So you won't be required to attend any meetings with the redress scheme in person. So we'll provide a detailed, we'll do the witness statement on your behalf to the scheme to tell your story. So the next steps now would be for me to send you a few documents or contracts for you to sign. So it'll contain a client care letter, a conditional fee agreement, and the letter of authority. And then it'll cover part one and part two. So the first two is everything I've shared with you today. Then the permission for us to get your records, and then the last bit then is all the information you shared with myself. So you're under no pressure or obligation to proceed, but if you'd like, I can stay on the phone with you whilst I send the contracts, whilst you have a look to see if you have any questions or need any assistance with signing the documents at all, or you can do it in your own time. It's completely up to you.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that now.
Yeah, fab. So I'll just double check, make sure everything's all okay. Yes, I've just sent them over now, so they should arrive via email and text message.
Okay, yeah, I think they've come to
Yeah,
my phone.
so.
Let me just put in my speaker and have a look.
That's okay.
Okay. Give me a second.
No worries.
I've got... okay. Teams, please click the link below to e-sign your documents.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yep.
So on the, so when you open it then, so it'll contain all the first part, which is everything I've shared with you today, plus a little bit more detail. And then on the bottom then of the screen, there's a yellow box that says a number with fields required. And if you click on that, it'll take you then to each page that needs a signature. And it'll come up with the tap to sign box that you click in and then draw the signature then with your finger. And you should click apply then, should be able to. And then if you keep going back then to that yellow box that says fields required, it'll take you down then. So there should be four signatures that you have to do. So sometimes it saves the previous signature, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, it's not saved. They're not coming up exactly correct because I'm using my finger.
That's okay, don't worry. Mine never does either.
Yeah, it's what I find. A lot of people have these because my wife buys off Vinted and one of the places I have to go back. And it never comes up the same ever.
They're awful as those ones because they're like pixelated screens. And my screen has an S in it. And as soon as I draw that, it just looks like a 5. And then it just all goes to, I just draw a squiggly line now. I just give up.
Yeah.
I've got sausage fingers as well, so that doesn't help.
Okay. I've done all the signatures.
Yeah, and then if you scroll then all the way down to the bottom of the screen then, you should be able to tick, there's like a tiny little tick box that says like verify signature or authenticate signature or something. And then the button then should... So does it say there's any fields required?
It says all requires fields complete.
Yeah, and then the button then, it's like, should become like a darker bluey purple that says submit. You should be able to click that one if the tick.
No, that's not doing it either.
No, so you, with the little tick box, you have to scroll all the way down to the bottom of the contracts.
Oh, okay.
To be able to tick it.
Yeah, I see. All the way. Oh, that's quite a long. All right, that's worked,
There we go, fab. And then when you press submit signature then, and then it'll come up with a page that says, like, verifying, authenticating and all that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's got verify. Document verified. Okay, that one's done and it's gone green.
Yeah, fab. So it'll start pulling in through the system then. Yeah, there we go. I can see them all coming in now. That's fab. Fab. All those have come through now. So the next step now is, so I'll send your application over to Redress and then they'll get back in touch with us in 2 to 3 weeks with an application number.
Yeah.
And as soon as we have that, then we'll pass over your application to the evidence team that will then begin to gather all of your records. Oh, one more quick question as well. Do you happen to recall the GP that you were registered with whilst you were in care or with your adoptive parents or anything like that at all?
It would have been Doctor Surgery. There was two, Dr. McIntosh or Dr. Forsyth.
Okay.
But I don't actually remember going to the doctors much.
So it's just, so I'm Welsh, and since coming over to England, my records weren't transferred. So I was just, it was just a double check. So if they haven't, then we might have to contact them. So,
okay.
What was it? Is it Salt Coats?
Salt Coats, yeah.
Yeah. Fab, I'll get that added to the file. So I've sent you over an email as well regarding the driving license and the letter. So if you could email us back with those photos, or you can send them to us on WhatsApp, whatever's easiest. I prefer WhatsApp because it's just quicker. And then, because we'll need those then before we can do anything regarding your records. So if you could send those over.
Okay,
that's fab. But other than that, so do you have any questions for me at all?
No, not at all.
Perfect, that's fab. So what I'll do now, so I will get this sent over to Redress, and then I'll be back in touch then following when we've received your application number. And if we need any further details or anything like that, okay? But thank you very much for your time today.
Okay.
But take care. And if you have any questions at all, feel free to give us a call, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
And you. Take care. Bye-bye.